Parshas Chayesar, we find the need to find a suitable wife for Yitzchak. And Avram Avinu appoints Eliezer the Eved Avram, to go ahead and to do so. And the Torah tells us that Avram Avinu imposes a shvuah. Vashbiacha b'Hashem elokei ha-shamayim velokei ha-aretz. Perach Chavdalet, Pasuk Gimel. This is not the only time that you find a shvuah in Sefer Bereishis. When it comes to next Shabbos' Kriyas HaTorah regarding the Mechiras HaBechora, the same is true when it comes to Yaakov and Esav. A shvuah is imposed. Toward the end of Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov Avinu is Mashbia Yosef in order to see to it that the Kfur is not in Eretz Mitzrayim. So there are various times that a shvuah indeed is found throughout these parshios. But if you look at this shvuah, there are two marked differences. Here, Vashbiacha, Vashem Elokei HaShamayim, Velokei HaAretz. As opposed to Yaakov and Esav, Yishavali, Vayishavala. Yaakov and Yosef, Yishavali, Vayishavala. If I ask you what exactly are those differences, one technical difference is as follows. When it comes to a person who goes ahead and makes a shvuah can be done in two very, very different ways. You can take a look at the Mishnah and Shvuas and Daf Chavtes and the Beis, and the Mishnah and Shvuas and Daf Lamed Abad Aleph. Even though it's Mamish one Amud, no Chavtes and the Beis Lamed, but these are worlds apart, worlds apart. Chavtes and the Beis is the third parak of Shvuas, and Lamed Abad Aleph is the fourth parak of Shvuas. You know why that's so important? Because the third parak of Shvuas is discussing Yishvuas Vitoi. And the fourth parak of Shavuos is a Shavuos Ha'edus, the Shavuos Ha'edus. So the Torah says there is a Shavuos Bitui, there is a Shavuos Ha'edus, but they have different dinim. Shavuos Bitui would mean the following, that I go ahead and I take a particular Shavuah. I will eat, I won't eat, that's a Shavuah La'aba. I did eat, I didn't eat, that's a Shavuah which is L'Sha'avah. How is it that a person goes ahead and makes such a Shavuah? Well, one thing is clear, that you know what, I have to make the Shavuah. I have to make a Shavuah. That's what we call mushma mipi atzma. I can make a shvuah. I will eat. I won't eat. That's my shvuah. Let's assume, for example, you want to impose a shvuah on someone else. You know, he's not eating in a very healthy way. So you want to impose a shvuah that you have to eat in an appropriate fashion. You have no right to go in to impose such a shvuah. A shvuah has to be mushma mipi atzma. Mushma mipi atzma. Okay? That's the Mishnah. Daf, chotesim adayz. You get to daf lamed alaf when it comes to a case of shvuah se'edus. You know what? That a person saw something, and I want to see to it that he testifies. He testifies in Beis Din. I know he has very critical, very relevant information. And you know what? He's not doing so. He's hesitant to do so. He claims he doesn't know. You know what? No. I can insist on a shvuah. What's the chiddush of a shvuah se'edus? There, it's not only mushma mipi atzmo, but there's a concept of mushma mipi acherim. I can go and impose a shvuah on someone else. You're claiming you don't know, I can summons you to Beis Din, and I can say that, you know what, go ahead and make the shvuah, she'ein ani yodeh locha edus. That's a shvuah that I can impose. There's no imposition when it comes to a shvuah's bitui, but there is when it comes to a shvuah's edus. That's very, very important. No, critical difference. Why exactly is that true? You know, there is a Gemara Bava Kama and a Nun Heimadeis. That's where the Gemara says that, you know, there are four different places where a person is chayiv b'dinei shamayim, even though he's potter b'dinei adam. Oh, one of the cases is the following: hayode edus l'chavero ve'eno meidlo. You know what? A person who knows relevant edus and refuses to go ahead and to be made. Oh, that's a case where there's a chiv b'dinei shamayim. The Gemara is very, very bothered. The chiv is only b'dinei shamayim. What do you mean? The Gemara says that's a din daraisa. If a person goes ahead and knows Eidus, I can summons him in order to go ahead and give the Eidus. Why does the Gemara call that something which is Bidei Shamayim? Beis Din can go ahead and force. They can insist. You know what the Gemara answers? No. A single aid. If there are two Eidim, oh, that Eidus is relevant. If it's a single aid is not always relevant. Even in such a case, he has to testify. Okay. So Tosus makes the following comment. And what right do I have to impose upon you? You saw something. If you want, you'll testify. And if you don't want to, no. I can insist that you do so. I can insist it. So you know, Tosus writes, Bava Kama daf nun vav maralech, dremas chol pshita. You know what Tosus writes? Because it's a pasuk. Im lo yagid v'nasavona. There in the parsha of Shavuos Eidus, the Torah says, you have a chiyuv hagada. Haggadah say this is not just discretionary. You know what? If there is a din Torah, and you know Eidus, the Torah tells us that, you know what? You must be made. That's what Tosa says. You must be made. And if you're going to go ahead and do so falsely, you know, that's not just lying. You know, if I make a shvua that I ate yesterday, I didn't eat yesterday, that's a sheker. Good? If I go ahead and I give false testimony, you know what? That already, perjury, no, that already is a different hagdar entirely. That's the parsha of shvuas eidus with different dinim. And why does the shvuas eidus have these unique halachos? The answer is because of the pasuk. Im lo yagid v'nos avona. Failing to testify is considered to be a fei. Whoa. So that apparently is the difference. You know what? A shvuas vitui is discretionary. I have to make a shvua that I will eat. I have to make a shvua that I won't eat. That's discretionary. What right do you have to impose a shvua upon me regarding that which is discretionary? But you know what? If the Torah tells me you must, that means I'm empowered. The Torah enables me. I can insist. I can insist. I can impose a shvua. I can impose a shvua. Wow. So whenever, in fact, there is such a shibur, there's a hischaivos, the pasuk says, im liyagi v'nas avona. Oh, so in such a case, I can go in and impose a shvua. Wow, wow. So if you take a look at the nitziv, the name of Dover, and then on the bottom of the Archiv Dover, Perach Abdalat Pasuk Gimel, the Nitziv writes the following, this Yisod, which in the Gemara is the difference in a Shvuas Bitui as opposed to a Shvuas Eidus, is something discretionary or something mandated, you know, that broadens out. That's true generally. Generally. And therefore, as an example, the Mechiras HaBachorah, no, Yaakov and Esa. One was obligated to. You mean that Esav was obligated to withdraw and forego the Bechora? You know what? That was his discretion. His discretion. There's no halacha when it comes to that which is discretionary of Mushrei Piyacherim. So you know what? I want to make sure that he's going to stand by what he does. So you know what? I can request a shua. I'll request a shua. You know what? I want to give teeth to it. You say you're going to do it. But I want to be able to impose that. So I can tell you, make a shua. That's a shua speak to you, though. That's a shua svitui. And that is only a request. And therefore, yishavali vayishavala. Yishavali vayishavala. Wow. So number one, I can request. You know what the response is? Yes, he has to make a shua. He has to make a shua. So I have a right to request, not demand. And he can respond by making a shua. Yes or no? Yes or no? Okay. The same thing when it comes to, the end of Sefer Bereishis. Of course, there is a mitzvah kibra ba'em. But technically speaking, Yaakov Hinu's instruction to Yosef, a demand or request. A demand or request. And Sif writes, a request. A request. A request is Hishavali. And the answer is Vahishavalo. A request is not. What about here when it comes to finding a suitable wife for Yitzchak? Oh, so then Sif writes the following. Wait a second. That Eliezer is the Eved Avram. What do you mean? There's a shibud. We learned, the Ramban, Kudushat Tezayin. When it comes to an Eved and an Adam, there's a Kinyan Shamama, there's a Kinyan Shaliser. An Eved does not have a right of refusal. An Eved cannot go ahead and say no. No? Not Seven Ishma, no? You know what the Svarna writes? That's the response of an Eved. Who in the world would say Nasa without Nishma? That's the Svarna writes in my Parshas Shvatim. An Eved does not have a right of refusal. And therefore, then it writes the following Kiddush. If the Adon instructs an Eved to do something, that's not discretionary, that's part of the Shibud of Avdus. And you're ready, the great Kiddush. If it's part of the Shibud of Avdus, that already is similar to Shuas Ha'idus, where the Pasuk says, Im lo yagid v'nos avona. There's a Shibud, you must. And that allows for, wow, Mushpa mipi acherim. And that's why here, when it comes to the Shua of Avram ben Eliezer, it's not Yishavali, and Eliezer responds by Yishavalo, but Va'ashpiacha. Ashpiacha means I'm imposing a Shua. That Al-Kadin is called Mushpa mipi acherim. Wow. And then it's saved just very, very briefly. Cite a couple more makoros. Now, the Nesiv says, take a look at Malachim Aleph in Perek Beis, Pasuk Mem Beis. That was the story of Shimei ben Gera, where Shlomo Melech accuses Shimei ben Gera of violating a shvua. Halo hishpaticha b'Hashem. Wow. When you're dealing with, Shlomo Melech says that Davre Melech imposed a shvua upon you not to leave and you left. Halo hishpaticha b'Hashem. Wow. There is a halacha of somta simelach amelach. A melech, right, has certain rights. The am is meshubah to the melech, and included in that, pretty great chiddush the Netziv writes, is the right of mushma b'yacherim. Therefore, when it comes to a melech and an am, the pasuk in Malachim Aleph uses the same phrases, halo hishpaticha b'Hashem. Wow. And the Netziv writes the following, u'yumadafir chesem adeiz. But you know what? There were times that the Kuna Gadola was so corrupt that we could not be confident that the Kohen Gadol would do the Avoda properly, no? And therefore, it's necessary to be mashbia the Kohen Gadol. So the Zikni HaChachamim, the Bezna Gadol, were mashbia the Kohen Gadol. That's the Mishnah, right? In Yuma, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Hei, the Sugya, Yechesim, Abeis. That's something which is stunning, no? The Mishnah is so dramatic. No, you're going to do the avoda. You know what? You're going to be with five of the Fnim. We're going to impose a shua upon you, the shlo tishane, that you're going to follow exact detail of how the avoda in fact should be done. Look, and it writes the following chiddush. The Mishnah does not say, you know what, that the Bezna Gadol requested of the Kohen Gadol, please make a shua. And the Kohen Gadol responded and says, I acquiesce, I'll do so. Ooh, and it writes the chiddush. That's a halach of mushmei piacherim. The model midaraisa is clear. That's shvuas bitui as opposed to shvuas aedus. Wow. And those are the mishnayos, chates, and lamed. And the Netziv writes, this one can broaden out that if someone is considered to be b'shus acherim, an am versus a melech, or a case of an eved, or legabe the avoda, the bezin hagadol, who is mamuna al avoda, after all, they appoint the Kohen Gadol. They appoint the Kohen Gadol. No, that's a Tosefta, the very beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin, that part of the job of Bezin HaGadol is to appoint a Melech, to appoint a Kohen Gadol, and therefore they cannot request but impose the Shua as well. So therefore the Netziv writes, the Lashon HaKra is incredible. Mashpiacha. And I'll tell you a possible second difference. No? A fascinating machlokas for Shonin. When do you need a Shem Hashem when it comes to a shul? When do you need a Shem Hashem? Very unclear. Very unclear. The Gemara says, a sugi and shul is in the Flam above. A shul requiring a Shem Hashem. Okay. But when exactly is that necessary? What's the status of a shul without a Shem Hashem? What is gained by making a shul with a Shem Hashem? Well, if you take on the Gemara Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, Gimel Dalet, Hilchos Shvuos, the Rambam writes the following. If I go ahead and I make a shua without a Shem Hashem, there's an Isser shua. There's an Isser daraisa. A shua does not require a Shem Hashem. But, when it comes to Karban and Malkus, that requires a Shem Hashem. And the Rama writes, that's true of a shua l'sha'avar, that's true of a shua l'haba, regardless of the shua is I will eat, I did eat, past, future. In order to be loket, you know what, you require a Shem. And that's what Rambam l'shita say, because it's a little bit unclear. This is a sugim shua, stavchav, tavchav aleph. What are the psukim for a shua? Not so clear, because there are a lot of psukim in the Torah that talk about a proper and improper shua. You know what the shita sarabim is? That the pasuk of a shua's bitui, both lahaba and l'shavar, is lo si shavu b'shmi l'shake. That's the Rambam shita. Pashup shat's against the Gemara. But the Rambam writes, what's the pasuk of a shua's bitui? Lo si shavu b'shmi l'shake. Lo si shavu b'shmi l'shake. You know what the chiddush of the Rambam is? That's not only true the sha'avra, that's even true l'haba. Wow, that's even true l'haba. The shavar, I understand. No, I made a shua, I did not eat yesterday, and that's a lie. That I understand. That's lo si shavu b'shmi l'shake. I made a shua, I will eat tomorrow, and I decided not to eat. That's a sheker. The Rambam writes yes, just like a shua l'shavar. You know what? By your failure too, or in the opposite case, by your act, you know what? You rendered that statement a sheker. Wow. The Rambam writes that sheker be the shavar, it's sheker on its face. And you know what? You can have something which is sheker pending, no? I say, I'm going to do this, and you don't do it. So it turns out, what was the isser? The isser is, lo si shobish mila shaker. So it's a chiddush that the Rambam uses the same pasuk when it comes to a shul lahaban l'shul l'shavar, and the Rambam writes the following. Well, in order to get malchus to that pasuk, you need a shame. Lo si shavu b'shmi l'shaker. So the Rambam writes, Ben Lashavar, Ben Lahaba, if a person is Nishma, B'Shem, Malkus. And if you don't make a Shvu using a Shem, you know what? It's an Isser. It's an Isser. Like Neder, for example, is an Isser. Even though you don't use a Shem, I say, Konam Lekikar Zeh, but there's no Malkus. There's no Malkus. Wow. Because after all, this is Lo Shisho, Mishim Lo Shaker. That's the Rambam Shi. Fascinating. In Isser Shua, as opposed to, ooh, Achil Karban Malkus. That's the Rambam Perek Beis. That's a huge Machlokes Rishon. If you look at the Ran in Shua, Steptes Zayin Dap Yarif, the Ran quotes a Shita Sarayivit that distinguishes between a Shul Lishavar and a Shul Haba. A Shul Lishavar requires a Shem for Malkus, but not a Shul Haba. Not a Shul Haba. Well, that's a fascinating distinction. So you know what? I made a Shua that I ate yesterday, didn't eat yesterday. You know what? Oh, that requires a Shem get Malkus Daraisa. I make a Shua that I won't eat tomorrow, and I eat, I'm going to get Malkus even if there is no Shem. There is no Shem. Why should there be a difference in a Shul Shavar, Shul Haba? Yes or no, yes or no. You know what the Shita of the Ravid is quoted by the Ran? Very Mestaber. That when it comes to a Shul Shavar, there's a Chalos. There's a Chalos Isser. I say, yesterday I ate. There's a Chalos Isser. There's no Chalos Isser. The Isser is the Maisa Shul, which is a Sheker. You know what? Lo si shov, ishmi lo shaker. That requires a Shem Hashem. But if I make a Shua that I will not eat tomorrow, that's an Isser Sheker. There's a Chalos Isser. It's as though the food is machalos asuros. And when I go ahead and I eat, you know what? Oh, that I violated my shul. Not the sheker. That a shul haba creates a chalos iser. And if you violate it, you are chayiv. Well, if it's not the mais shua, but the chalos shua, oh, the rai writes the chiddush. That, you know what? A mais shua shua requires a shame. That's lo shisho b'shmi lo shaker. But not a shul mahaba. That's like a fascinating difference, no? Whereas the Rambam equates, it's like a chiddush. When you eat, it turns out that yesterday's shul was a lie. The Rabbi writes, no, it doesn't turn out yesterday's shul was a lie. It means that the shul creates an iser, and now you violated that iser. You violated the iser. And therefore the Rabbi writes, what's true of a shul ishava is not true of a shul mahaba. Okay. Who? Rabbi Nutan. New Shita, the Ran, Beis Amar Aleph and Daf Yerid. The Ran says, I'll tell you the basics. Beis Amar Aleph and Daf Yerid. You know what Rabbeinu Tam Shita is? It depends if it's Mushmi Piyatzmo or Mushmi Piyacherim. Exactly, our distinction. If it's Mushmi Piyatzmo, you don't require a shame. Therefore, if I make a shua that I will not eat, and I eat, even without a shame, you can get Malkus Darais. And that's true according to Rabbeinu Tam, whether it's a shula haba, whether it's a shula shava. Well, you can get Malkus Darais. But let's assume, for example, you're talking about a case of Mushbim Ipiyachim, where I can impose a shua. Where do you see a shua in Chumash, imposition of a shua that requires a shame? That we've been discussing. That's the whole parsha of Sota. No? The Midbar Hay. The Kohen imposes a shua on this woman. You know? Ooh, you know what? She is a Suffolk Sota. The Raglaim led over that she was an Ashes Isha Zinsa. The response is the Kohen is Mashbiya the Isha. And Mufurish the Pasuk, that the Kohen utilizes the Shem Hashem. Oh, so in such a case, Rabbi Natan, pretty incredible. That the source of a model of a Shua to Shem Hashem is the Shua Sasota. And the Shua Sasota is Mushma Mipi Acherim. Mushma Mipi Acherim. So that's the Chiddush Rabbeinu Tam. When you make the Shua, you don't need a shame. When the Shua is imposed, then of course you need a shame. Maybe one could explain it the following. When you make a Shua, you make a Shua. But when I'm imposing a Shua, what right do you have to impose a Shua? I'm making a shua. I'll make a shua. No, I'm the Baal HaShua. No, that's my Das Hafla. No, you're imposing a shua. What right do you have? You know what the answer is? What right do I have to oppose a shua? Because the Torah insists. The Torah insists. You know, according to Rabbeinu Tam, maybe one could argue, that's why you have to invoke a Shem Shemayim when you have Mushmin Piyacherim. No, what right do I have? Because the Torah insists. The Torah empowers. the Torah gives me the right to go ahead and do. So maybe it's not at all a coincidence that Rabbi Natan Shita, if it's Mushim Ve'acherim, by virtue of what right, by the right invested in me by Kadosh Baruch Hu, by the Torah, I have a right to impose the Shua. Therefore, you have to mention Hashem Hashem. So Rabbi Natan points out, incredibly, no? Whenever you find Mushim Ve'acherim, the pasuk concludes Hashem Hashem, Vashbiacha, here, Eliezer, Avraham Avinu, Shema Kei Aretz. Whoa, no? Shlomo, Shimon Ger, Halal Hishpaticha Vashem? No? Yom Yerches, the mission is so dramatic, no? The Misha Shikin Shmuel Abayi says that, you know what? I'm invoking the Shem Hashem who dwells in these walls to insist that you do the Avodah properly. That's the case of Mushpa, which is Mipiach Erim. That's the Kiddush of Rabbi Natan. That's pretty fascinating. That's pretty fascinating. It sounds great, except. The Ran writes, Nedarim Beis Amud Aleph, none of this is right. None of this is right. What do you mean, none of this is right? Let's take that Mishnah, Chavtes Amud Beis. Comes to Yeshua's Bitui. There's no Moshe Piachim. There's no Moshe Piachim. It's only Moshe Piatzma. How do you have Moshe Piatzma? How do you have Moshe Piatzma? I make this shua myself. True. Is that it? No, that's not it. There's another way of Moshe Piatzma. And that's incredible. That is Anias Amen. Amen. Amen is Kamotzi Shumi Pivdami. Amen is Kamotzi Shumi Pivdami. Wow. You go ahead and make a shua, and I answer Amen. That's my shua. That's my shua. You know, you make a shua to Shem Hashem. You made a shua to Shem Hashem, you're not going to eat tomorrow. You know what? I say, that's a good idea. I answer, Amen, I'm not going to eat tomorrow. You know what? If I eat, I get Malkus Daraisa for those who show Bishmi L'Shoke. That's pretty incredible. No? Look at you. Malkus, I didn't use a Shem Hashem. I didn't say anything at all. I just said, Amen. You know what the Kiddush is? Amen is Kamotzi Shumi Pivda. Amen is like Ibid. No? Whatever you said is coming out of my mouth. No, whatever you did, I'm doing. That's pretty incredible, the Rambam Shita, no? That Anias Amen is Kamotzi Shuvit Piv Dami. Anias Amen is Kamotzi Shuvit Piv Dami. Now, the Ram discusses Anias Amen in a few places, no? Hilchoshua's Beis Aleph, Adorim Beis Aleph, Brachos Aleph Yadav, no? And the Ram describes Amen differently in all those cases. Different in all those cases. No? The Rambam writes, Hilchoshua's, when you answer Amen to Yeshua, it's Kamotzi Shuvit Piv Dami. It's as though you articulated those words. And the Ram writes a very great Kiddush. Afilu hishbiu akum. Here's such a thing. Afilu hishbiu akum. So a guy says something, and I answer, Amen, that's my shua. Because it's as if, mamish, medaberes mitol grono. It's as if, I said these words. The Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim says, if you make an answer, Amen, I'm also bound. Why? Because there the Rambam writes, Anias Amen is Kabbalah's one. Amen is a way of saying, I also accept. I affirm. That's fascinating. Then Hilchos Nedarim, the Rambam writes, Amen is Kabbalah's Dvarim. In Hilchos Shua, the Rambam writes, Kamos Yishun Kodami. And then the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Aleph Yir Aleph, the Rambam distinguishes, this is a theme for another shir, but the Rambam distinguishes between Shomea Ka'one as opposed to Anias Amen. You know what? It's Leil Shabbos, you're making Kiddush. You know what? I have to also hear Kiddush. So you know what? I listen to every word. The Rambam writes the following, you know? Kol ha-shomea bracha mitchilas ha-tzofa. Hear a bracha from beginning to end. You know what? The Rambam writes the following. Im kivin libo yotza. If you have a mind to be yotzer, yotze. That's called shomea ka'ona. Sukkul ha-meches. And then the Rambam adds, v'chol ha-ona amen achar ha-mavarech ha-reza ki-mavarech. Wow, ooh. The Rambam writes, you know what? I can be yotze Kiddush in one of two ways. One way is through Shema Kona. Another way is by answering Amen. You know what the Rambam writes? When I answer Amen, it's as though I did so. Ooh. Tosus writes, Brachos Tav Chaf Aleph, Sukkah Lamech Ches, that even if it can be Yotzi through Shema Kona, Ani Adiv Tvei. Ani Adiv Tvei. So you know what that means? I'll be Yotzi Kiddush if I sit back and say nothing. But you know what? It's a mitzvah and a mubcher. Tosus calls that Hidra mitzvah, that I should answer Amen. Because if I answer Amen, you know what? That's not just Shomei HaKona. Wow. That's as though I myself am doing so. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. There the Rambam does say, that's fascinating. Now, as long as one makes Kiddush Chayiv. In Shavuos, afilu yish biyakum. Now think about that, no? In Brachos, the Rambam writes, Vishma Rachayev Osa Abracha. But the Rambam is clear. You answer Amen. You know what? That's your Shua. You're going to get Malkos Deraisa for using a Shem Hashem inappropriately when all I did was answer Amen. All I did was answer Amen. That's pretty heavy, no? But that's before. It's just what the Rambam writes. That's what the Rambam writes. Wow. Oh, so the Rambam says the following. What's the whole source of a shame b'shua? A shame b'shua? Sota. Well, that's what the Torah mentions. This is an example of a shua that requires a shame. Sota, sota. And what does Rabbi Natan say? Sota is a classic example of mush v'achem. And therefore, Rabbi Natan, mush v'achem requires a shame, but not mush v'piatzma. And that's beautiful midduk in the psukim. No, Bashviyach HaBashem, as supposed to be Shavali V'Yishavala. Right? One has a shame, one doesn't have a shame. Ooh, that's the Rabbeinu Tam. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah, but it's all wrong, no? Because the woman is approached by the Kohen. The Kohen mentions the Shua, yes. And guess what? And the woman answers, Amen. The woman answers, Amen. The Ram says, Amen is Mushipiatsmo. That works in a Shua, speak to it. Amen is Kamos Yashunipiyav Dami. So you want to derive from the Parsha of Sota that the only time you require Shem and Shua is when it comes to Mushipiacherim. And that's based on the Parsha of Sota. But the woman answers, Amen. And then yes, Amen is Kamos Yashunipiyav Dami. So everything breaks down. That's absolutely wrong. You see that even Moshe Piyatzma requires a shame. No? Because Amen is Moshe Piyatzma and the Shul required a shame. So how can Rabbi Natan possibly suggest that this is true? The Ram leaves this as a tzarech. The Ram leaves this as a tzarech. So take a look at the Netziv, that very same Netziv. No? Emek Davar Harchev Davar Chav Dalet Gimel. And take a look. Ooh, the Briskara. The Chedushi HaGriz on the Rambam, in the very, very back, a series of letters. This is found on page Pei Aleph. Ooh. So there, the Nitziv writes, the Briskarav writes, but it's Mefurish Nitziv. Name it Davar. You know what? When you take a look in the Parsha of Sota, there's something which is really unusual, really unusual. There's the woman, suffix Sota, and there's the Kohen. There's the Kohen and there's the woman. Each one has a role. Each one has a role. And the Torah speaks about Ishua, true, and the Torah speaks about an Allah. Divrei ha'Allah hazos. The Allah. There's a Shua and there's an Allah. There's a Shua and there's an Allah. What exactly does this mean? What exactly does this mean? There are two moving parts when it comes to the Parsha of Sota. Wow. And if I ask you that, okay, there's a Shua, what exactly does that signify? Oh, so Poshim Shan the Posuk. You know what? This woman is being accused of being an Eshus Ishus Insa. So the woman has to take a Shua denying that that's true. She has to say that, you know what? No, I was not. I was not Mizana. That is the Shua. That is the Shua. Oh, but you know what? Before she does so, the Kohen says the following. I want you to know the stakes are very, very high. The stakes are very, very high. You know what? If indeed you're telling the truth, all right, you're innocent, and you know what, you'll give rise to Zera, okay? But if you're lying, you're gonna bust. No, the details of the parsha. No, realized. Din nefesh. Are you willing to accept the terms of the shul? Are you willing to accept the terms of the shul? Now realize, you know, a person makes a shua. Okay, you know, right, you're wrong, terrible thing. It's part of the seres adibros. Lo seres shmin l'shakim. But realize, here, we're beyond just an issur shua. No? The consequence, the repercussion, the ripple effect of this shua is enormous. No, your life is on the line. Are you willing to accept the consequence, the terms of the shua? And you know what the woman affirms? That she is, she is, she is. You know what the Gemara says in Shua Stach Lamed Vav? That Amen sometimes is Bo Shua. But the Gemara also says, Shua Lamed Vav, sometimes Amen is Kabbalah's Dvar. In acceptance, I affirm. I affirm. A person makes a bracha, I answer Amen. No, that's a Shua. That's not a Shua. Amen can be a Shua. Amen can be a Hamanas Dvarim. Amen can be Kabbalah's Dvar. Sometimes Amen is a Shua. Sometimes Amen is Hamanas Dvarim. You know what that means? I also believe. You made a bracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shakol Mi Abidvaro. I answer Amen. I also affirm. It's an affirmation. And Amen is also Kabbalah's Dvarim. Amen can have three different hats. No? Sometimes it's a Shua. Sometimes it's Hamanas Dvarim. Sometimes it's Kabbalah's Dvarim. The Chiddush, the Tzidik Rishkarav, is as follows. When it comes to the parasha of Sota, you have two different forms of Amen. You have an Amen which is Bo Shua, that's clear, and you also have an Amen which is Kabbalah's Dvarim. Why do you need both? Oh, the answer is as follows. The woman is going to make the Shua that she was not an Ashes Ishes Insa, but Sota requires an Amen of Kabbalah's Dvarim that she accepts exactly what the coin lays out. And that's called a Shua. That's called an Allah. That's called an Allah. What exactly does that mean? There are two moving parts when it comes to Sota. One is Musha Mipi Atzmo of the woman, and the other is a Musha Pi Acherim of the Allah of the Kohen. Of the Allah of the Kohen. Wow. That's the Chiddush. That the Parsha of Sota has two different forms of an Yasame. One which is Bo Shua, one which is Kabbalah's Dvarim. One which is Mushmi Piatzma, the representation that she's not an Ashes Ishes Insa, and one is Mushmi Piacherim, her response to the Shua of the Kohen, of the Kohen. And that's the Parsha of Sota. Wow. Oh, so the Tzidik Rishkarav write the following. That's the Chiddush Rabbeinu Tam. That's the Chiddush Rabbeinu Tam. Look, you go through Chumash, and the Torah has many examples of Mushmi Piatzma. And the Torah never mentions a shame. Yishavali b'yishavalo. Yishavali b'yishavalo. Never mentions a shame. When it comes, for example, to Vashpiacha, Hashem, Moshe Piacherim requires a shame. The Parsha Sota, why is there a shame? If the whole Parsha Sota would simply be that the woman makes the Shua herself, then you would not need the shame. The reason that the shame is included in the Parsha Sota is because, in addition to the Shua Zisha, there's a Shua Sakoin. The Shua Zisha is Musmi Biatzma. The Shua Sakon is Moshe Piacherim, and that's the Chiddush Rabbeinu Tam. What is driving the need to mask Shem Shemayim is the Moshe Piacherim of the Allah of the Kohen. Wow, that's a fascinating Chiddush, a fascinating Chiddush. So you tell me, yeah, wow, this sounds like, you know, okay, it's a nice puzzle, like it's a nice maze, but yeah, that's really what the pasuk refers to. Two different Dine Amen and a Gemara in Shua Sandaf Lamed Vav, you know. Wouldn't it be nice if there was some kind of like indicator that this indeed is true? When the woman goes and does show, ooh, there are two moving parts and a dual response. Yeah, so, enoch enami. No. Yeah, so, perakei pasach habeis, no? V'amr isha, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Yeah, exactly. What do you mean, amen, amen? She stutters, like, amen, amen. What do you mean, amen, amen, no? Yeah, there are two dine amen in the parsha Sota. When she goes said in response, what the Kohen says, this is mushma mi pi atzma of the Shua Seisha, and this is simultaneously a mushma pi acherim, right, of the Shua of the Kohen, and that is the Shita of Rabbi Natan. That's what's driving the need for Azkar Shem Shamayim. So that's the Ran's Kasha, pretty incredible, that now, how can Rabbeinu Tam suggest this? After all, Anias Amen is mentioned in the Parsha of Sota, that's Mushmi Pi Atzma. How can you say Mushmi Atzma does not? Well, Mushmi Acherim, the answer is, ooh, that's it. They prescribe the two moving parts when it comes to the Shuas HaSota. And now it's incredibly Hiduyik and all the Shuas and Sefer Reishis. Every time it's Mushmi Pi Atzma, you don't have a Shem Hashem, Mushmi Acherim. That's Mashviach Hashem. And then it's it, even broadens out that model. It's a beautiful Chiddush to take a look at. Okay. Eliezer. All right. Shua. Okay. An Eved, an Adam. And now he embarks on his journey in order to go ahead and to find a suitable wife. Right. For Yitzchak. And Eliezer says the following, that you know what? Ooh. Vahoya nara sher amari leha. You know what? I'm going to set up like a simin ledover. A simin ledover. You know, I'm going to go my jersey. And the woman who goes and comes forward and acts this way, oh, so chachal avachal Yitzchak, that will be the greatest indicator. That will be the indicator. Wow, wow. So let me ask you a very, very simple thing. Is that approach mutter? Is that approach mutter? I'm in charge with the task. And I say the following, you know what? Okay, I'm going to go on my way. If this happens, you know what? That's an incredible omen, and I'll do this. And if that happens, then I won't. I won't do that. I won't do that. So, pretty heavy. So, that's how the answer begins. You know, if this is what's going to happen, then yes. And if that will not happen, then no. If this happens, oh, so chach dam l'chayim. You know why this is so complicated? In Parshas Kedoshim, there's a lav daraisa. Lo sinachashu, lo sonanu. No, you're not allowed to act in a similar way. You can't go in and do that. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Samachayim Adbeis tells us the following. You know what? That's the Isra of Menachesh. Menachesh. What does it mean? I say, if this happens, you know what? Then I'll embark on my journey. And if that happens, then I'm going to decide not to go ahead and do so. Not to go and do so. The Gemara says that's an Issa Daraisa. An Issa Daraisa. To go ahead and to set up that, you know, oh, if this happens, it's not like superstition. If this happens, then no. If this happens, then yes. So that should be an Issa Daraisa, lo sinachashu. And on top of that, ooh, a sugyan chulin, daf tzarihei mudeis, where Rav says the following, that you know what? Kol nachash, she'eno keliezer ever Avram, eno nachash. You know what an example of this would be? Eliezer, ever Avram. You know what an example of this would be, saying of this, then this? An example of menachesh, of lo sinachashu. You know what? That's Eliezer, Eved Avram. Whoa. So Tosus asked the immediate kasha. So if that's true, Bim Tomer, Eliezer, Hechniche, how did Eliezer do this? No? If the Gemara really means to say that this is an Issa Daraisa, and the classic example of this practice is Eliezer, so Tosus says, Bim Tomer, Eliezer, Hechnachashu, how in the world did he do so? How did he do so? Go on your way and just find a wife. Like, what kind of? If this happens, if that happens, how could that be? So Tosus writes an incredible teretz. Oh, Tosus writes an incredible teretz. It's only considered to be lo sinachashu if one relies on those simanim. One relies on those simanim. Reliance on those simanim. Is nichush. Whoa. Did Eliezer rely on the simanim, or did he not? So Tosa says something pretty incredible. You probably know the Rashi in Chumash, but Tosa says this. You know what? The Torah describes that Eliezer saw that, you know, ooh, the simon came to fruition, and all of a sudden, you know what? He gave the gifts. He gave the gifts. Are ready to Rivka? No? He gave the gifts to Rivka. Okay. But he also had a conversation with Rivka, no? After all, Bas Miat. Tell me about yourself. Who are you? Let me ask you the following. Tosa says this, pretty incredible, no? The order, the sequence, should be very telling. Very telling. If Eliezer would give gifts before he would even converse with her, that's an indicator that he was relying on the simanim. No? If, however, what do you mean? You know, that was like a broke vice. But he had a whole conversation with her. And at the end of the conversation, he gave the gifts. You know what that would mean? He wasn't relying on any simanim. But he conversed, but Mia, she explained who she is, her lineage. Okay. So Tosa says, you only violate this, sir, if there's reliance on. And then a pretty heavy question. What was there reliance on? So Tosa says, you know what? That should depend on the Seder. What came first, what came second? And then Tosfos writes, what came first, what came second? Whoa. Take a look in the Psukim. There's a stirigluya. No? When the Torah describes it in real time, what happened? That's Perach Chav Dalet, Pasuk Chav Beis, and Pasuk Chav Gimel. So guess what? In Pasuk Chav Beis, the Torah says that he gave all the gifts to Rivka, and then in Pasuk Chav Gimel, afterwards, Basmiyat. Whoa. That clearly indicates that the gift-giving was first. That's a problem. You're going to give gifts without. How can that be? Oh, you're relying on the simanim. Yeah, that's a problem. Oh, but Tosfos immediately points out, but when Eliezer, Eved Avram, explained what happened, you know what? Guess what? That's already Perach Chav Dalet Pasuk Mem Zayin. The order flips. Eliezer says that, you know what? That I had a conversation with her, and then I gave her the gifts. Rashi's very bothered by that flip, no? Rashi's very bothered by that. So Rashi says the following. The real order was the first way. But Rashi writes, Eliezer would have looked foolish to say something like that. I gave her all the gifts and I said, who are you? That would have looked kind of foolish, no? Shelo yitpisenu bedvarav. They wouldn't catch him with his words. They would say to him, why are you doing that? So therefore, Eliezer, in explaining what happened, he really was relying on the simanim. And therefore, he gave the gifts first. But in Pasuk Mem Zayin, Rashi writes, when he had to retell what happened, it would have looked unusual to say, I went out on this limb and I asked you, oh, by the way, who are you? So Eliezer, in order to avoid that, flip the order. Ooh, that's what Rashi writes. You know what Tosfos writes? Tosfos writes, the first psukim, Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, Ein Mukta Mucha B'Torah. First, the inquiry. And only afterwards, giving the gifts. And that's why when it was repeated that way. Well, the real Seder HaDvarim, Tosfos says, was first inquiry and then giving gifts. That's why it's not Lo Senachashu. He wasn't relying on the simin. The simin kind of set the stage. It broke the ice, but then there was a whole conversation. And then afterwards, based on the conversation, yes, there was active giving. Wow, that's what Tosfos writes. So Eliezer did not violate this because he was not relying on the simanim. Vaharaya, only after his conversation with Rivka did he go a step further, even though the simanim already happened. Not reliance on simanim, that's not considered to be a violation of Shanachashu. Wow, that's pretty heavy, no? That's the Tosfos. Whoa. Guess what? Take a look at the Rambam. Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Daleth. The Rambam writes, Ein Menachashim. You're not allowed to do this. It's a lav d'oraisa. The Pasuk says, Lo Senachashu. And Keitzu d'Menachashu, what is it? Now, how do you do this? Okay, so the Rambam gives you the simanim, A person says, if this happens, I'll do this. If that happens, I'll do that. The Rambam writes that, you can't do that. Mesim simanim latzmo. That's absolutely awesome. And then the Rambam adds, Ke Eliezer, Eved Avram. You can't do this. You can't do what Eliezer did. Wow. And the Rambam writes, V'chol osem, Maisik nei dvar me'ilu. And if you're going to go ahead and do so, look at Malkos daraisa. When the Rambam describes this of Lo Senachashu, the Rambam writes, Ke Eliezer Eved Avram. What Eliezer did was absolutely out of the pale for us. Absolutely wrong. It's an Issa daraisa. You gotta say, what was the source of the Rambam? They don't say that's the Gemara Chul, that's Ari Hay. The Gemara says that, Kol Nachash, Eliezer Eved Avram. Wow. That's pretty incredible. The Ravid screams, no? The Ravid says, Shibush Gadol. How in the world? How can you say such a thing? Now, what Eliezer did was an Issa d'Oraisa, and we have to learn the opposite of what Eliezer did. Also, the Keser Mishnah points out, and pretty incredible, that Eliezer was a Ben Noach, and a Ben Noach is not admonished for the Issa d'Oraisa Lo Senachashu. Avodah Zarah, yes, but not Lo Senachashu. And Lo Senachashu was not considered to be overt Avodah Zarah, that a Ben Noach is admonished to do. So for this, Eliezer was allowed to do so. If a guy relies on a simen, we don't call that about a zara. We call Los Nachashu. Los Nachashu is not one of the shemitzes. We know it. Well, and therefore, Eliezer did so, but you're going to copy that? We? What do you mean? Nitna Torah, but Yitzchak Shalacha. We have an Issu Los Nachashu. One is not allowed to go ahead and to do so. That's pretty incredible. Where Tosus assumes that, no, absolutely, yes, this is included in Avodah Zarah, and it must be that Eliezer was absolutely justified, and that justification is, the real order is inquiry, followed by giving of the simanim, and if you don't rely on it, that's okay, that's okay. Wow. And the Rambam writes, absolutely not. Eliezer was relying on simanim, which is Aser. Wow. And the Kesem Mishnah even writes, after all, Eliezer was relying on the Simon in the Tzasa. And the Kesem Mishnah writes, Shemiyad Nasam Hatzmidin. No? Because Eliezer gave the gifts first. Yeah, like Pasuk HaBeis and Pasuk HaKimel. He was fully relying on the Simon. And that you're not allowed to do. Wow, wow. So how could he do so? Because he was a Benoach. And this is not included in. But when the Rambam describes how we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, guess what? If we were to do what Eliezer did in Echonami, for us there would be Malkus Daraisa. That's pretty heavy. No, that's pretty heavy. I'll tell you something else. And that's the Ran on that daf in Chulin daf Tzari Hey Mabez, Kedushi Aran. The Ran writes the following. Simanim. You know what simanim are? The Ran writes, this is probably what all of you would have answered, no? But the Ran, simanim are arbitrary indicators. No? A deer crosses your path. That's the case in the Gemara. What does that have to do with, you know, I'm only going to take my journey if this and not that. Oh, no. You know, a black cat walked over here. So, you know, roop, there's a ladder over here. Roop. That's lo sanachashu. Arbitrary simon. Arbitrary simon. That's what Eliezer said. You know, if an animal crosses the path, then Rivka's the right one. And if not, not. Well, what do you mean? That, you know, hanara asher omar leha. Gemilus chasadim. Now that's like an arbitrary indicator. That's the Ran, Joshua Saran, right? Joshua, hey, that you're searching for a wife. Midos. No, that's that Ran. Midos as opposed to Deos. And that's a magnificent Ran. That you know what? Deos, you can alter. No, a person's convinced of this. Now give me 5 minutes. I'll convince him of something else. No. Okay, you know, if he's wrong, he's wrong. You know, honest, okay. Midos, shiras amidos, is much, much more difficult. No? That's why the Ran writes, you know what, the test has to be a test of midos. You can't really, you know, to transform someone to be a balas chesed, that's very, very hard. A person has an opinion that's wrong, you know what, an honest person, you know, can be convinced. Okay, so the test was a test of midos. That's an arbitrary simon. That's like the Gemara. Pito nafam lepiv. You know, all of a sudden, if your food falls out of your mouth, it means this. Your stick falls out of your hand, it means that. The tzvi crosses the path, it means this. Like, we would say, that's crazy. No, that's delusional. If I say, the one who performs incredible acts of gemilus chasadim, she is appropriate. Wouldn't you say, that's strange. That's what the Ran writes. If you have a simen, shahasvar no das. You have a simon that's so reasonable. That's what you should be looking for. No, you can't rely on simonim. That's absolutely, absolutely appropriate. That is considered to be, after all, what did Eliezer see? Tehe kokach na b'ma'aseh u'shleim b'midoseh. No? That you're going to say, no, that's like an arbitrary measure. Wow. So that's exactly what the Ran writes. And that he relied on. Oh, and then the Ran writes the following. And that's what the Gemara means in Chulin Daf Tzari Hei. In order to violate the Isra Nichush, it has to be similar to Eliezer Eved Avraham. What does that mean? Not that he was Menachesh. It means you have to rely on the Simon. like Eliezer, Eved Avram relied on the Gemilas Chasadim. It doesn't mean like he relied on a crazy simon, no? It means you're going to be held responsible for relying on crazy simanim if you consider that crazy simon to be similar to Eliezer Eved Avram, who relied on something that was very, very virtuous. Wow, that's a magnificent run, no? That's the Chiddush Yaran. Kundav Tzareihem Abeis. If you look in Shmuel Aleph, in the Radak, it's found in Perek Yedal and Pasuk Tes, the Radak writes the following. You know, a person says something, that's a similar dollar. That's a similar dollar. Is that like really from, or is that like really krum? Is that like, you know, from? That's nichosh. Radak writes the following. You know what? When a person says that, you know what? Oh, you know what? That's a similar dover that this is. What exactly is the person? Radak writes the following. If a person thinks, choshev umami, that you know what? That this simen is the cause. You know? The simen is the cause. You know? Why did I have such a terrible day today? The answer is because, oh, that black cat, you know, that's nichosh. That you cannot do. But let's assume a person will say, as Eliezer said, you know, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu shows me a sign, you know what? That is an indicator that this is Beratzon Hashem. You know what? Eliezer experiences like a kvitza sadarach, and he says, oh, that's an indicator that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, is behind this. That's not nichosh. If a person will attribute what happened, okay, reasonably, I'll put these together, reasonable attribution, and you see it as that is hashkachas Hashem, so Radak writes, that's absolutely fine. That could be virtuous. If a person somehow thinks that independently the simon somehow is impactful, that is considered to be a form of nichush. So if a person will go ahead and say that, you know what, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give me a certain, people in life experiences that, you know, I was in a very difficult situation and something happened, and you know what, that indicated to me, that reminded me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the world. You're going to say, that's Nisra Nichush. Maybe this trigger, but you know what, that it was an opportunity to embrace Simon Bitocha. Mashen came when somehow you are appropriating an independent value. Oh, that the Radak writes is considered to be that which is indeed us. It's a fascinating, like, detail. Now you see a little bit of the parsha, and all of a sudden, like, things come together in the Doros in terms of the Musaraska, the Torah is conveying. You know, the lamdus of the different shuas, and here an important issue of ultimate reliance on Kadosh Baruch Hu, and sometimes it could be Simana Milsa. The Radak writes, as long as you see that as being a reflection, an appropriate reflection of the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, Mr. Shem, Sunday we'll continue. Here's the kingdom.